Gary Kay's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Joel Rollins, and this is The Week on Rave Radio. Thanks for stopping by. This week, after the news, we'll be talking about doing business abroad with Bob Snyder of Rave Europe. This was an interview I did with him back at ISE 2 weeks ago in Amsterdam, but it wound up so interesting that we extended it, and I decided to make it the focus of this week's episode. Bob has been doing business in various countries and cultures for a long, long time. Bob, I won't say how long. But I thought it would be great to get his take on what it's like to do business overseas. Overseas for us here in the U.S., that is, which is part of the perspective issue. Anyway, we'll be doing that in just a few minutes. In the meantime, let me remind you that The Week is brought to you by Atlas Sound. Atlas makes a huge variety of audio products to fill the needs of the AV industry, and we'll be talking more about them on and off, and they can be found at www.atlassound.com. Back at ISE, I did a great interview with Mike Abernathy of Atlas, and you might want to, if you haven't listened to it, take a little rewind through Rave Radio and take a look at it on our webpage at www.ravepubs.com. Anyway, also, while you're here on Rave Radio, and if you're looking for the Mike Abernathy podcast, take a listen to our other podcasts, like the Green AV podcast, The Wavecast from Women in AV, Gary Kay's Almost Daily Rants and Raves. You can find them all at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. Here on The Week, we try to address the most important items we see in AV news for the week, and we bring you a range of guests for a conversation about subjects we find important to our industry. And so, without further ado, let's talk about what's going on in the world of AV. Well, first of all, Integrated Systems Expo 2014, ISE 2014, closed last week with a record attendance of over 50,000, plus 952 exhibitors. The pre-show events program included the third edition of the Smart Building Conference, the all-new Investor Showcase and Audio Forum, and an opening keynote address, Kickstarting the Market for Building Automation, by Cisco's Dr. Dirk Schlesinger. In addition to training sessions throughout the RAI, partner events included the SVGE's Sport Facility Integration Summit, digital signage market briefings and tours from Invitis Consulting and Themed Entertainment Association Tour. Rave had 17 enthusiastic reporters on duty for the show, and you can experience our print, audio, and video coverage at www.ravepubs.com/ISE2014. The next Integrated Systems Europe will take place at the Amsterdam RAI from February 10th through 12th, 2015, and yours truly will be talking to you from there. Also, debuting at ISE 2014 was Christie's new 65-inch flat-panel digital display. The LED edgelit display comes in touch and non-touch versions, and both have a very thin profile, just 2.7 inches deep for the touch version and 2.1 for the non-touch version. Christie says the commercial-grade LCD panels are suitable for meeting rooms, classrooms, and digital signage in corporate spaces and education facilities, as well as hospitality and retail environments. Mountable in portrait or landscape mode, both flat panels have built-in speakers, offer a wide range of inputs, and support RS-232 commands for ease of automation and control. The 1.07 billion colors and 4,000-to-1 contrast ratio promise true-to-life images. The new touch and non-touch panels will ship in April. You can learn more at www.christiedigital.co.uk. You can also find out more at www.ravepubs.com/ISE2014. Well, following right up on the heels of ISE 2014 was DSE 2014 in Las Vegas. The Digital Signage Expo wrapped up. Rave was there and executed over 15 podcasts that you can listen to at www.ravepubs.com/DSE2014, and there were a lot of great announcements. Among them were Panasonic announcing a new ruggedized weatherproof outdoor display, very high brightness even under direct sunlight, The new 1080p native video wall display can run non-stop thanks to a cooling fan that can be set to operate automatically at high temperatures. And finally, Panasonic's new early warning software lets customers monitor devices remotely and receive alerts when a unit needs attention. This software can also suggest maintenance scheduling and monitor device temperature to avoid future issues. Look for these brand new Panasonic offerings soon at www.panasonic.com. While we're talking about digital signage, DT Research's latest digital signage media player is the SA1360, a 1080p native player using the Intel Core iSeries processor. It's integrated with Microsoft Windows 7 and has two HDMI ports. The SA1360 includes the company's web-based WebDT Content Manager software for remote management of content and device functions. WebDT Content Manager is an interface for organizing, scheduling, and distributing content and supports numerous media formats including images, videos, Flash, URLs, RSS, and Microsoft PowerPoint. What the market seems to like about it is flexible screen layout options with multiple zones and layers let you divide the screen into 8 areas with different content in each zone, so that you can mix images, text, and real-time video within a screen, helping to keep their attention. Read more about the new media player and the WebDT Content Manager at www.signage.dtri.com. Well, among other news from the big shows, Barco is a fixture at all the important exhibitions. One of the first products that Barco ever built was a radio. That was nearly 80 years ago. Many people are not aware that Barco's name is an acronym for the Belgian American Radio Corporation. Anyway, it was only a matter of time before Barco decided to enter the theater and home cinema markets. They've launched a group called Barco Residential that will debut a line of home entertainment products in 2014. No products yet, but stay tuned. And you can stay tuned for this and all the other news that are happening in the industry by following www.ravepubs.com and especially following our industry exposition microsites, which will take you to all of the booths and all of the products and all of the people that are at these important shows, allowing you to stay up with the industry without having to leave home if you don't want to. Anyway, we'll be there at all the shows, and right now I'd like to get on with our interview for the week. Well, hello again, listeners. Joel Rollins here again on the final day of ISE 2014, and as much as I love this show, I am now glad. My feet hurt, my back hurts, and unfortunately I'm looking ahead to an evening of tearing down the booth. But luckily with me today is Bob Snyder, who is editor of Rave Europe. Bob, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Joel. I mean, I think my back and my feet hurt, too. It's a big show and hard to take in all at one time.
This is really your show. This is your part of the world. How do you think it's gone so far this year? I mean, obviously, Mike Blackman, the Infocom and CEDIA people seem to be pleased. But you're actually out in the world with these folks. What do you think?
Well, we here in Europe were just so impressed with the growth of the ISE show. You know, if you look back on the history, no one would have thought it could be this vibrant or this big. And again, you have to put it in context of all the other shows that are going on here in Europe. And inside of Europe, a lot of trade shows that were traditional in IT and related areas are falling down and decreasing. And this show is managing to keep up the pace of growth. Part of it, you know, is obviously because, you know, our sector is becoming more and more important to a lot of industries. And it's a result of things like cloud, you know, and the move to the display and the computer and display and the digital signage. But the people here are very impressed by the show and find it very attractive. Its size of it just boggles us.
You know? In my opinion, this is the world's premier AV show. Mm-hmm. I've been Infocom for over 20 years, and, you know, great show at Infocom. I go to CEDIA. I go to a lot of the U.S. shows. Yeah. This is the biggest show and the best mix I've ever seen. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you about today in particular is, as impressed as I am with the show, business works very differently here than it does in the United States.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Can you fill us in a little bit more about how you see the difference between the way we do things in the AV market in the U.S. and the way it's done here?
Sure. I think I'd like to equate it to the difference between driving a car that's automatic and driving a car with a manual shift. what happens in Europe is because we're really this concatenation of all these different countries and cultures and languages, is that we have a lot of different cultures that we have to factor in, and people from some countries are more conservative than others. People have different concerns, and we tend to be, instead of one size fits all and the most economical, we tend to be very tapered, very specialized, and we tend to spend a lot more time, I think, on getting it right, you know, for the particular culture.
Sure. I would think that with the cultural differences, there's an enormous amount of changes that have to be made in not just the way you do things, but the way you present things.
Absolutely.
What if you were a manufacturer from my hemisphere that wanted to come here, how would you step into that?
Well, I think one of the things is very, very important for Americans to get out of America and to understand that there's more than one way to do business. And I go back to my analogy with the automatic car. The problem is most Americans tend to come over and they want to do business the same way that made them successful in America. Logically, that makes sense. But when you get over here, we don't have a singular mode. And so one of the things that we suggest, you know, to Americans who want to come over is, again, to come over with an open mind and to understand that there are more than one ways. You know, God gave you two ears and one mouth. Use them proportionately and try to understand that these people here have their own way of doing things. Now, we even within, for example, a small country like Belgium, where I lived for a number of years, inside of Belgium, we have three cultures. And they do things in a different way, and they like to be approached in different ways. And if we don't respect it, we don't get maximum business penetration on Belgium. If you grow up as a Belgian, you grow up with a stick shift that you know how to do business in three different cultures. And to add a fourth or a fifth is just easy from there. I think one of the important things to understand is that here in Europe, you have to work via distribution partners. And you have to come out here. You have to find the right partners in the country to help you over that culture and to get you adequately positioned in the market.
If you wanted to explore this market and you were coming into EMEA for the first time, what would you do?
Well, again, I would certainly do a lot of research and talk to a lot of people who know about it, and that's one reason Rave being an international company is probably helpful. But if you were to come into the market, for example, let's just say you picked a plane and picked a port of entry. If you pick Germany, you would have an experience where people expect things to be done right. They don't expect you to be making your learning experience in Deutschland.
In Ordnung, as I
recall. Alles in Ordnung. There you go. They expect it to be right, and they're not very forgiving as a culture. And so what happens is, even in businesses that aren't AV, if they're going to do test marketing and do things in Europe, they do it in small countries like Switzerland, Belgium. They go in, they start a business, they start to learn that there's more than one way to do business. They get it right there, and then they extend out to the larger markets where you don't get penalized as much for making mistakes.
Absolutely. Now, going back the other way, I mean, you work with a lot of European companies and distributors.
Yes.
How would you see that difference working with Europeans? Maybe we're a little more wild and woolly on the U.S. side?
Well, again, these are countries and, you know, where if you step on an elevator and you say good morning to a person, they wonder, what the hell do you want? The culture is not open. You know, one of the things Europeans don't understand about us is we want to get to the business point. You know, we're a little more direct. We're not afraid. You know, I heard a Frenchman trying to explain this. He goes, "You Americans are very crazy because you want to talk about your jobs and your salaries, but you don't want to talk about your mistresses." How different than France?
Absolutely. You know, interestingly enough, I ran a Canadian company for 5 years and had to have a lot of guidance when it came to French Canada. And I was fortunate enough that the gentleman who ran our Quebec division was a master at this. Yeah. And we went to do a deal, a rental company, very large rental company, went to do a deal with the Convention Center in Montreal, which is very culturally very French-Canadian.
Of course, yeah.
And we were at dinner, and I attempted to talk about the contract over dinner.
Yeah.
And they were like, "Well, normally this wouldn't be done. We'll wait until afterwards."
They have a European mentality, and that's exactly what certain cultures here would expect. and it would, you know, really disrupt your business flow if you tried to interrupt that process.
Sure.
But I think even here in Europe, you know, the typical reaction to Canadians are much more international than Americans, because at least they deal with two languages and two cultures inside their own country. Whereas the Americans, one of the big fears from doing business is that, sure, we make quick decisions, but we also make quick exits as well as quick entrances. And they've seen a lot of Americans who have come in with a lot of strong promotion and a lot of blunder, and they exit quickly, leaving a trail of unhappy people behind them. So we have an expression in business in Europe, and it's in French it's called le cowboy. In Italian, it's, you know, it's still cowboy. And you wonder, they never had cowboys in Europe. Where does this expression come from? And it comes from Americans who are like bulls in a china shop, and they tend to say things and announce things and do things before they're really ready to make that happen in Europe.
My experience in Canada was that one of the great differences between north of the border and south of the border, mm-hmm. as we describe it, was a great deal more long-term brand and distributor loyalty on behalf of a dealer than we experience in the United States.
Yes, absolutely.
Where it's easy to be swayed by five more points of profit margin.
Sure.
Do you find that that's a difference here as well?
Tremendously, okay, because, again, if I can use retail as an example, because it just illustrates it more, but it applies to more than just retail. If you're Radio Shack and you have 6,000 stores and you're talking about buying 100 units for each store, the people involved in that financial side are looking down to the pennies and are very concerned about the pennies. And, you know, it's business. They're going to kill you if those pennies get in the way. From a European point of view, because it's broken into many different countries, the volumes are smaller, although the total would add up more than an American business. Each individual countries are smaller, and therefore, they're not looking at the pennies. They're looking at the tens of dollars and saying, is this a relationship I can live with? They say, I work to live. I don't live to work like Americans. And if you are difficult and cause complications and problems in their business, they'd rather get rid of you. So the decisions are based on much more than just the dollar and cents, although obviously they're important everywhere.
You know, when I first started coming over here 20-some years ago, working for Extron.
Yeah.
And teaching Extron School, and one of the things I noticed was that unlike technicians and salespeople in any of the companies that I taught in the United States, no one was wearing pagers, and they shut their phones off during meetings.
Yes.
And in the United States, I am ashamed to admit, we often answer our phones during meetings.
Yes.
Which I think shows disrespect to the people that we're talking to at the time.
And here in Europe, they would penalize you in a business sense for that disrespect, because they feel if you don't know enough about their culture to just get that far, then why should they trust you with a lot of other things that are more important to the success of the business? You know, they believe in Europe in general. You know, for example, Europeans have there's a lot of difference between an Italian and a German culture. But if you put 20 Europeans in a room with 100 Americans, I bet you could pick out those 20 Europeans. They have more in common, and one of the things they have in common is this sense of privacy that's different than our sense of it. And they their data privacy laws are more stringent. They don't like random emails or random letters and that random publicity. They want to ensure that their private life is private, and they will turn off pagers, they will turn off phones, and they will do what they have to do. Now, one of the problems in talking about cultures is obviously, you know, we don't want to get into stereotypes. You know, there are certain individuals in Holland that act exactly like Americans, for example.
Sure. And a Texan's different than a New Yorker, too.
And this is the message I bring to Europeans. They think we're all alike in America. And I say, from being from New York, I have about as much in common with some of the Californians as, you know, an Italian does with a German, you know. But And Europeans are unfair in that way. They will tease you about coming to see Europe. You know, you spend one day in London, one day in Brussels, one day in Munich, and you think you know Europe. On the other hand, when they go to America, they do exactly the same thing. One day in Washington, one day in New York, one day in San Francisco, and they think they know America.
My My experience of the UK is London, and my experience of France is Paris. And I'm told by residents of both countries that doesn't mean I've seen anything.
You haven't seen anything regarding the full, you know, dimension of the country. And that. But I spent 30 years traveling 200 days a year across all the countries in Europe, and I still don't know everything. For example, you know, in the first 10 years that I was doing this, I didn't realize there's a part of Holland where if you're watching television, they have to put captions on the language because it's very different than their typical Dutch.
I didn't know that either.
It's a shocking little point, but most Dutch people know that it's part of their culture.
So if I can draw something from this, it's that if you were a U.S. manufacturer seeking to do business here, one, starting out by exhibiting in a show like ISE might be a really good idea. Yeah. But the other thing is that a European distributor can be more than a distributor. They can be a guide to their local culture.
Yes, they're absolutely guides to local cultures. And it's not only exhibiting at ISE, which is important, but I think you ought to ask for help and training before you get to exhibit on ISE. And there, you know, there are people and companies that are happy to help you with that, and including Rave, of course. But the point of the distributor is that it's very different than the same word and the same business profile in America. In America, our distributors generally tend to be a bit more box movers, and they're you know, geared up on logistics and that. Here, a distributor is your brand in his country, and he's oftentimes expected to provide full technical support. He's expected to do full marketing. He's expected to do everything in your name, but he's not. He's a distributor. And to work through a distributor, you know those old movies where you're sticking your hand in those gloves that are going into the biological laboratory, and then you're working on sensitive material. When you're working in with a distributor, you're working in a remote fashion, trying to control the market through their hands. And it makes a very different way of doing business. The distributors here and the type of distribution opportunities there are very different than America.
I'm stunned by also the complexity and size of distribution here. My favorite booth in this show, the last 2 years running, has been by a company called Lang. And you'll actually see an interview with me and their president earlier today on the website. Yeah. And they do, I think, the cleanest, best stage stand in the entire show.
They are a spectacular exhibitor and a spectacular company, and very typical of what Europeans would like to think is their strength over America. That is, the whereas Americans are very strong commercially, the Europeans would like to think they're a little bit stronger in the application side of the technology. Maybe a less commercial, but when they do applications, they think them very carefully, and they do beautiful applications. What a lovely stand they have here.
It really is beautiful. Take a look at the podcast. We did several interviews from the Lang booth, including an interview with their president. It was really a wonderful show. And I actually gave them my best of the show award last year personally, and I did it again this year. It's stunning. It's clean. It's well put together. But their position in this show is as big as any of the manufacturers in the show, not just in terms of their stand, but their position. They get talked about on the floor as if they were a Sony or a Panasonic.
They built a brand.
They have you know, internal support services for the brands that they carry. Yeah. They have application engineers beyond anything I would think of from any of the distributors in the United States.
Yes, and again, we do have the box movers like you have in America, but a lot of our distribution, they act like a manufacturer, and therefore they develop brands and they develop technical departments that are far beyond anything you would see. In America, the typical distributor would have a very clear definition. What is the manufacturer's role and what is my role?
Right.
You know, I'm on logistics.
The number one thing is the line card.
There you go.
And they sell based on their manufacturers. Yeah. Lang and other European distributors sell on their own strength that they carry those brands.
Yes, and their ability to apply them to applications with technical skills and with service skills.
Yep. It really is a very different market. For those of you in the U.S. who would be thinking about coming here, number one, I'd encourage you to attend this show. This will be your first year. Come over, take a walk around, stop by Rave. We'd be happy to point you in the right direction. But it really is. It's a beautiful show. It's a beautiful place, and culturally very, very different. But I think an enormous opportunity, and I think an enormous opportunity for some of the manufacturers here that I don't see in the United States to send their products there.
Equally, yes. I think if any, you know, successful company in America came over here, they would not help but see the opportunity and the commercial opportunity to really grow another business here without any doubt.
Coming from the stateside, I would suggest come on over, and as Bob suggested, keep your eyes and ears open, and learn a little about the way things work here, because it is an amazing market with amazing strengths. And for those of you who are distributors in the United States, come to the show and take a look for some of the lines that currently aren't being sold on our side of the pond, because there's some amazing technology here that I never get to see at home.
Yes, we're actually in a bit of a tech boom funded by the EU government, but there's a lot of promotion on entrepreneurship. And this area of imaging and this area of where architecture and art meet the technology is one of the specialities of European culture. They're very excited about it and tend to develop good product.
I've seen some fascinating applications here. And the other thing that seems to be booming here, software development.
Yes.
I mean, there's a whole lot. I lived in California for a long time. I lived in Silicon Valley. But there's just a lot of booming technology application going on here. And again, I think it's a spectacular show. Bob, anything you want to add for our listeners on our side of the pond?
Well, again, I think one of the things I'd like to encourage them, because normally what happens is 1 week before ISE, I get calls from Americans who go, I'd like to find a couple distributors before ISE. And there are every country has a full set of distributors that would be equal to the number of distributors in America.
Sure.
Just to start that.
Absolutely.
They come in different flavors. They don't move very quickly. They need a lot of time to make a decision. And in general, they like to be very cautious. And you need to match up not only the fact the guy's willing to order from you, but you have to match the culture of your company, the way you do business, to the culture of the way that distributor does business. And this is the fine art of matching distributors and vendors, because in Europe, if your company culture, that is, if you're a quick entrepreneur type, you better find yourself a quick entrepreneur type distributor, because you're going to drive the other distributors crazy.
Sure.
And one more point is that there are reasons that distributors have, again, the market is not young and primitive here. It's a mature market. They don't like to drop everything to pick up one product, even if it's a nice product, if it disrupts everything else they're doing, or if it's not worth the energy of trying to build a program around it to support it. So it makes it harder when you come. I would say you need 3 months to find your first few good distributors in the right way. And I really would like to encourage people to stop this accidental exporting, where somebody comes onto your stand in a show and they're the only person you've ever met from Finland who wants to order, so you sell them.
Right.
Because the distributor is your brand in that country. And if you change them 6 months later, you're out of business in that country. It's different in America, where you, if you have a distributor in America, and he goes out of business in the Northeast or, whatever, you still have all your marketing and your umbrella of your brand and everything you do to carry you over that. But if the Finnish distributor gets fired or quits, you have nothing in Finland and you're out of business and you have to restart the brand and everything all over, and sometimes leaving a bad taste in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that really was the most blatant difference to me is here the prominence of the distributor as brand.
Yes.
Is very, very different. In the United States, the goal is for manufacturers to make their distributors transparent.
Right.
And to use them to distribute products.
Yes, they're vehicles.
Here, that brand adds to yours.
Yes, exactly.
In terms of who's carrying it and how. So very culturally different.
Well, Joe, I think you actually have a very astute understanding of the European market for visiting and that, because that is something that's very hard for a lot of people to learn.
Well, I enjoy doing business over here and have for a long time. And, I mean, one of the things that I think for anybody to do is, as Bob says, understand that it's done differently here and that we're not going to push our way of doing things into another culture. If you come over, learn to understand it, learn to appreciate it. Heck, I find this fun.
Yes.
And I think that if you come over with an open mind and open eyes and ears, you'll learn a lot and probably be able to sell a lot of product.
After 30 years, I'm still having a lot of fun doing it, too.
Thank you, Joel. Thanks for being with us, man.
My pleasure.
Well, that's all we have time for. But join us again next episode here on The Week on Rave Radio. Don't forget, there's lots more to listen to in our other podcasts on Rave Radio. Check them all out at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes.